The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where this week, as every week for countless weeks in a row now, we're bringing you the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. Now, most of the time, devoted listeners, we talk about strategies. We talk about how short-term rentals work, or how to find deals, or how wrap mortgages work, or it's all just, you know, tactic, strategy. But every once in a while, we take a step back and we talk about your life, because you know what? How much money your business is making or how good you got at creative finance is actually not the measure of whether or not you're successful. It is in fact a sad fact that you will, throughout the course of your real estate networking, run into quite a few of your colleagues who, by every measure of real estate success, are successful. Like, they have lots of properties, they have lots of cash flow, they have the nice house, they have the nice car. Everybody admires them. Everybody talks about how they're a great investor. Like, everything looks awesome. But secretly, if you really know them and really talk to them on a intimate level, you're going to find out that they are sort of miserable. And I don't want that to be you. And if it's already you, I want to give you some advice on how you might get out of that miserable millionaire, why am I so busy all the time and never get to enjoy myself or spend time with my family world that you might be living in. And when I say I, as usual, I have a guest who has spent many years now coaching exactly the kind of person I am talking about how to just reorient their entire businesses, mindsets, lives to really have everything you want, because it isn't just the money. His name is Sean McCloskey. Many of you are already familiar with Sean, as he holds whole conferences on just this topic. But he is joining us today, hopefully from his home near St. Louis. Sean, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hello. It's good to be back.
I know you've had a couple of busy travel and coaching weeks right before this, so good that you're getting back home and taking a breather before you have to come to Cincinnati in a couple of weeks and talk at the summit. I know you love what you do, so it probably doesn't feel a lot like work. But you know what's funny? I was thinking about it as I was waiting for the show to come on. When I first met you, which was probably, golly, 15 years ago, you were a real estate speaker. You were a guy who had done a whole bunch of short sales, and you know, you were teaching short sales and related types of things, and you have just pretty much deserted that whole line of education in favor of what you're training people to do now. Why? It seems like there's probably more money in selling courses about short sales.
Well, I did a lot of deals. We started in 2003, for those of you that I've not met yet, and started flipping houses in 2003 and made a whole business and career out of that. And I enjoyed it for a long time. And then I burned myself out from it for a long time. And then I started to go through this process that I'll share with you guys today. And it changed my life. So, and it did so much so that when I first started doing it, people thought it was nuts and going out of business and, you know, crazy and all the stuff that comes along with when you make massive changes in your life. And then shortly after that, a year and a half after I started making some radical decisions, they were starting to come to me asking me what I did, because I started to have some more freedom and time and started enjoying my life quite a bit more. And so, you know, after flipping about 300 houses or so, I've decided that I had more fun renovating people's lives than I did houses. And so I've made some pretty big changes. So yeah, I'm in my 17th year of coaching now, and that's been on everything from real estate to short sales, flipping, and good Lord, every kind of real estate you could do. And that changed into some business consulting and coaching. And then it turned into how do you have a life at the same time? So, you know, unfortunately, most people that are in business for themselves at some point, if they haven't already, go, man, what am I doing this for? And I'm working like crazy. And
this is not what I pictured.
They lose track of some things that at one point some things were important to them, like family and hobbies and, you know, charity and all kinds of things that life entails, and the business tends to take over. So I'm here to help people either not do that if they haven't hit that point already, or if they've hit that point, help get them out of it.
Mm-hmm. I have this feeling that we've got a bunch of people listening and thinking, no, just give me the problem of having $5 million worth of properties, and I'll worry about
right.
this other stuff when that happens. Because in this country, and maybe in Western cultures altogether, we tend to so closely connect financial success with success in all of those other areas. I mean, for one thing, everybody just admires a financially successful person, but also it's like we connect the way I'm going to spend more time with my family is have a bunch of money so that I don't have to work, so that I can spend a bunch of time with my family, so I'm just going to work 80 hours a week.
Yeah, and it's not always just about working 80 hours a week. I mean, we just wrapped up my coaching retreats that, as you know, I do 3 times a year, and one of my most successful, at least financially, clients is about $500 million with a B. And so it's always interesting to me that a guy like that comes to me for coaching, because he clearly makes way more money than me. But, you know, he's divorced and he doesn't have a relationship with his kids. And he built the business, which is very, very successful. If I said his name, most of you would know at least his company. You might not know who he is, but you'd know who his company is. And, you know, he's like, look, I got to this point in business because I sacrificed, for the most part, everything else. And now here he is, mid-50s, and he's going, I need to repair some of the stuff that I didn't work on because I was so focused on the business. So he hit all the pinnacles of success in business, but he sacrificed a lot to get there. And you don't have to. You can actually have both. Most people don't believe that, or if they do, they think it's some pie-in-the-sky fairy tale. Or, like you said, someday when I get the money, then I'll have that other stuff. And you may get the money, and that's great, but you may not also. And so what I don't want you to do is to sacrifice everything else that you claim to care about, or at least did at one point, in the pursuit of it.
Now, Sean, we need to take a quick break. I do want to invite listeners to call today with questions or with stories, like if this is resonating with you and you want to talk about it or talk about how you solved it, or maybe you've been to one of Sean's classes and he helped you out in doing that. We'd love to hear that kind of story today. You'd be amazed at how rarely someone bothers to call up an educator and say, you know, you really changed my life. They just, their life gets changed and they go on. So if you want to do that, that's good too. 877-772-4700. 9658, 877-772-9658. Or if you'd like to put it in an email, it's vinoradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox, and my guest today is Sean McCluskey. And we are not talking about real estate, but we are talking about your business, your real estate business, and your life and how those ought to fit together as opposed to how they might actually be fitting together, and how to hopefully avoid a train wreck that might be coming at you in the future, or if the train wreck has already happened, how to get on a different track here. So Sean, this thing that we're talking about, it's so common in the real estate investor world that there should just be a name for it.
It's common in the business world, you know, and most people who run their own business. And, you know, it's interesting because I've been coaching now 17 years and I speak around the country around this from time to time. And when I ask these audiences, why did you get into business in the first place? They get all different kinds of answers. Well, I want to make more money, or I want to make a difference in the world. Here's what it boils down to. People want two things. They want something meaningful that they can do to, usually to contribute to the world somehow, and they want life on their terms. Mm-hmm. That's what they want. And they didn't find that in a job, or it was restrictive, or they couldn't climb their way up the ladder, or they're just rebellious and decided they want to do their own thing. But what they really want is life on their terms, and they want to do that in a way that's meaningful somehow. And if that's the case, then I ask people the second question, what's your terms? And most people can spit out two or three things or five or 10 things, but they don't have a crystal clear vision for what they want their life to look like. And the purpose of business is to really, the selfish purpose for business, or I should say self-interest purpose, is to allow you to have life on your terms. And I ask people, how many people do you know that run their own business that have that? It's very, very few. And so when I ask, what are your terms, and you can't even tell me what your terms are, how are you supposed to design a business or put any boundaries in place that allow you to even have that? And so that's step number one. You got to start with that. And that's what this vision work is, which sounds corny and cheesy. But when I ask people, you know, why are you in business? And they say, oh, you know, because I want freedom, or I want to travel more, or I want whatever 100 things they say, they're starting to tell me what their terms are. But most people haven't designed their business in a way that allows them to do that, because they have the belief that says, one day when the business is successful, then I'll be able to have my own terms. And that's not how it has to work. You can have those terms starting right away, but you got to do some work. And so that's what I teach. What is the work that needs to be done? What do you need to think through? What are the tough questions? And how do you need to design your business from the start in order to allow it to let you live life on your terms? Mm-hmm. And if it's already been designed and it's not been designed that way, then what needs to change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like we don't know that this thing is happening where my business is taking up so much of my time and attention and focus that I'm not spending enough time with my kids. I used to really enjoy bowling every weekend, and I haven't been bowling in 7.5 years. What happened to these great vacations I was going to take? If I'm lucky to be able to get out of town for 2 days, I mean, we know that it's going on, and partly we know because we get those pangs of guilt when we, when we think about, you know, the poor doggy who doesn't get played with. But where folks get lost, I think, is how to change it. I think the most common thing they think of is, well, I've got to have more discipline. I've just got to be more disciplined about setting aside this block of time for my family every day. And I think what you're saying is, no, better time management, better discipline is not going to do it.
Well, you know, discipline's a great word, and I do believe you need some discipline in life, but discipline is a whole lot easier when you've got a big enough reason why. So think of it like this. Like, if I'm getting – I just got back from a vacation, so I wrapped up my coaching retreats, and then I went on a two-week vacation, and I enjoyed my time while I was gone. Most people, when they go on vacation, work the overwhelming majority of the time they're on vacation, so it's not really a vacation. Or they go, and maybe it's a weekend, and they don't really – you know – for most business owners, I found it takes 2 to 3 days just to unwind from work, just to get present again. So a weekend trip is usually not enough to reset. So my question would be, okay, if you want to go on vacation, is your business designed in a way that allows you to go on vacation for a week or 2 weeks or a month and doesn't require you to be on the phone the entire time? So, you know, the first part of that is the vision that says that I want to go on vacation. And the second part is now becomes strategy. And so you've got vision first. The vision always comes first, which is the reasons why you need to put something in place. And then the engineering comes second. And most people are trying to do that at the same time. So they're trying to go, okay, here's kind of what I want. How am I going to pull that off? And if you're not careful, that inner engineer shuts down the visionary all the time. So you got to dream just a little bit at first. And some people are natural dreamers, so they gravitate towards that. And some people aren't so much. They tend to be more engineer types, like, okay, how are we going to pull that off? And if both of those are occupying your brain space at the same time, it's really hard. So, you know, step number one is to dream it up in the first place. If you're a natural dreamer, that's going to be really fun for you. If you're not, that might be a little bit more challenging. So I have to kind of walk people through that process a little bit, which we'll be doing at OREA coming up. Mm-hmm. But, the engineering is important. The vision casting is equally as important. And then somebody's got to actually do it. It's got to actually not only see what the vision is, engineer how you're going to pull it off, and then actually put it into place. So all three of those components are necessary to do this. But it's more than discipline. You know, discipline, when you get a crystal clear vision enough of what you want your body to look like and you've got enough reasons to do it, then, you know, I'm not saying going to the gym is easy, but it's easier when you know exactly what you want, you've got a big enough reason to do it. It's like I talk to people who want to lose 20 pounds for a wedding or for summer coming up, and they pull it off. And if they sustain that vision, then they can keep it off. But oftentimes, you know, the summer vacation comes or the beach time comes, and they lose the 20 pounds because they've got a big enough reason, and they don't sustain it because they don't keep a big enough reason. Mm-hmm. So that could apply to weight loss. It could apply to your business. It could apply to all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Don't you find that, you're going back to the real estate business in specific, that a lot of people left swipe what you're saying because they don't see anybody else doing it and they don't understand how it could be done? You said vacation, right? Let's say I'm a rehabber. I am not. But let's pretend for a moment while we're dreaming things up that I'm a rehabber and I'm doing 4 or 5 rehabs at a time in any given moment. And Sean says, you know, an actual vacation is where you leave town and you leave your computer at home and you're not talking to your contractors every day and, you know, dealing with Home Depot bills and stuff. And, you know, don't you find that what a lot of people say is, well, that's just not how the rehabbing business works. Ask anybody.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, well, sometimes it is the model itself that is flawed from the very beginning. In the case of rehabbing, it's not. So, for example, you know, do you have systems and processes in place and reliable, dependent contractors that you hire, or are you choosing different people for every job because you're only willing to pay $5 for a job that costs $20 to do? You know, are you buying properties that are similar, so where you can use the same paint colors and use some of the same materials? Or are you just buying, you know, a $20,000 house and the next one's an $800,000 house and you're having to make new decisions for every single house that you're doing? You know, are you not buying the houses cheap enough to be able to hire mature, responsible contractors in the first place? And so you have to pinch pennies everywhere because you don't have the margin. And in some cases, people who are doing massive volume, they have to cut their margins in order to do margin. And so sometimes the answer is more deals isn't necessarily better. You need to do less deals with bigger margins in them to be able to pull off what I'm talking about.
Wow, these are huge, scary thoughts.
Yeah. Well, this, you know, living your vision comes with a cost. It comes with responsibility also. And it's not easy, which is why most people don't do it. And it's even harder when you don't have role models around you who are doing that as well. But if you want to have life and a great business at the same time, you do have to think differently and you do have to do things a little bit differently. But the reward is there. It's fantastic. And I know great people who are doing running a rehabbing business who do have the ability to go out of town for 2 weeks at a time because they have put the right people in place and they do have systems and processes in place. Or they've got such a simple business that they don't need to do as many deals because their margins are much higher, and so they don't have 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 projects going on at a time. I mean, here, one of my most successful students only did 3 to 4 deals a year. Now, in those 3 to 4 deals, he wasn't going to do a deal unless he made at least $100,000 on each deal. And I'm talking net after all of his expenses. But his margins are really high. His expenses are very low. This is a guy who owes no one anything. So for him to make $300,000-$400,000 a year doing 3 to 4 rehabs a year, he can certainly do that and take time to go on vacation 2 weeks. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm saying that's what his vision looked like, and that's how he executed it. So your path is going to be different depending on what your goals and your vision looks like and all of that. But it doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to do 10, 12 deals a month to have a successful business that funds all of your lifestyle that you're looking for. I mean, my gosh, most people's vision, if they keep their expenses pretty low, most people can live most, if not all, of their vision on $10,000 to $12,000 a month. And if you can't make that in the real estate investing world, you're doing something wrong. So, but of course, if your expenses are $10,000 a month and you're making 12, that's a different deal.
Mm-hmm.
So the execution of this is different for each person, but the start of it is you deciding what it is that you want. And then we'll back figure that in on how are we going to pull that off in a way that makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you got to know what your vision is. You got to know exactly what it costs to live your vision. And you got to get crystal clear on those things. Most people are setting goals before they've even gotten clear on any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't asked the hard questions yet. So they assume that the answer is, if I'm doing more, if I'm making more, then I'll be free. Well, shoot, when I went through this process the first time, I was making about $35,000 a month in the real estate world, which sounds fantastic, but my expenses were 34, you know? It's like you don't make that up in volume. You don't just do more and increase more expenses and do more. I mean, one of the worst days of my life is the day I made $100,000 on a real estate deal and I realized I got 3 months worth of expenses paid for. And if I don't do a deal month 4, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, is that what you signed up for? No, but that's what everybody taught me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that wasn't my vision. That was me living somebody else's.
Sean, we need to take another break, and then we're going to go to some questions that have come in at vinaradio@gmail.com. You can also call with your questions at 877-772-9658. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones-Cox. My guest today is Sean McCluskey, and we're talking about some stuff that you might be sitting there being really excited about, or you might be sitting there being real scared about, or you might be sitting there in total denial about. Sean doesn't know me. He doesn't understand what I'm going through. He doesn't understand my business. It is the way it is. And there's just vacations. Ha! I'll vacation when I'm a zillionaire and sell all my properties. We have a couple of questions in the inbox, and I have a feeling the phone's ringing, so I have a feeling we're about to have a caller on the line as well. This one's a little more of like just a like a housekeeping thing. Matt says, I donated to WMKV to obtain a virtual ticket to the 2024 Real Estate Summit. When will I receive my instructions on how to access the event? So far, I've only received a receipt for the donation. Yes, Matt, and everyone else who pledged to get a virtual ticket. That is absolutely correct. You have not received a link to join the thing, which is still 2 weeks off, and here's why. We discovered over the last few years that what we should do is send the link the day before the event. Because if we don't send it the day before the event, if we were to, say, get it today, what would happen on that Thursday as we're opening and we're all busy, you know, registering people and making sure speakers are there and have water and all that kind of stuff, is Sarah would get 100 panicked calls, texts, and emails from people saying, I never got the link. because it's lost in your inbox. So all y'all, you will get that link when you look for it on probably Wednesday the 30th. And by the way, those of you who are attending virtually, as you know, you get to watch one session during each hour. We've got the camera in one room, and one of those sessions that you will be watching is Sean's session on Friday morning at 10:30, from 10:30 to noon. So don't be emailing me saying, is Sean going to be one of the people I'm going to see virtually? The answer is yes. And also, we do still have some of those virtual packages available if you absolutely cannot get to Cincinnati and you want to see some amazing educators and some great events in the evenings. So we're going to do an in-person or like a live, like real-time deal finding contest. You're going to be given access to a list of potentially motivated sellers in your area. You're going to get on the phone with them and see what's going on with them, and can you set an appointment? And if you set an appointment to go see one of those properties, you're going to get a prize. It's going to be awesome. The way you get that ticket is wmkvfm.org. Go all the way to the bottom of that home screen, and you will see the thing that says OREA virtual attendance. And we are not going to be registering people for that after next week. It's just too hard to administer, making sure everybody's got their links and everything's working as we get super close to the event. So wmkvfm.org. Let's go to line one and talk to Russell in Connecticut. Russell, welcome to Real Life Real Estate. Hey, Russell.
Hi, Vina. How's it going? Yeah, I emailed, how are you? It's such a poignant topic. I love this because I'm thinking of, and I emailed it in. I had two one was a former business partner, and another was a friend who was also into real estate, where their decisions and setup not only cost them financially, but also their health,
mm-hmm.
which we can't get back. And one of them passed away, and we had a memorial, and his friends and family were telling him after he invested in something, it was a place in Philly that was stressing him out, and he was in New York City, that you got to get rid of this thing. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't taking care of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess beyond the, maybe if you could go into more detail, the question could be more what, going forward, what the, some more details. You said it didn't have to be very complicated, like as far as plan and vision.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, another thing I'd like to, now that moving on.
Well, yeah, let's
move forward.
Let's see. Yeah. Thank you for your call, Russell.
You're welcome.
And thank you for reminding us that, you know, when we keep putting off going to the gym and eating lettuce day after day because we're super busy at work. I mean, that's another thing that Sean, that I know people always do, right? It's you know, I'm seriously going to buckle down and get to the gym as soon as things lighten up in the business.
I'd love to, Russell. That's such a great question, and reminds me, I got the opportunity to speak at Yale University about this topic, and this is going on about 5-6 years ago. But one of the things, I was sitting there speaking to the entire MBA program at Yale. And one of the questions, I was talking about personal vision and how that affects your life to all these young, you know, 23, 24-year-old kids. One of the questions I asked them was, how many of you have very successful parents? And I figured I knew the answer, but every single hand went up in the room. So their parents are involved in politics or, you know, entertainment or something. This is a room full of Yale MBA program masters. So, and I said, okay, how many of you in this room, if you had the choice between spending more time with your parents versus having them as successful as they are, how many of you would have chosen more time with your parents than the success that you guys have seen as a family? Every single hand in that room went up except the one person, one girl sitting in the front row. And I thought that was interesting enough, that the kids in there, even though they've seen who knows what level of success with their families, all of them would have chosen more time with their parents. And so the one that didn't, I said, I'm curious, why didn't you raise your hand? You don't want more time with your parents. And she said, no, I hate them. They didn't spend any time with me at all. And I was like, wow. So, you know, when you're talking about tactical approaches, here's one thing you can do. first thing we do when I'm bringing in somebody to work with them is I have them get crystal clear on their personal vision side of things first. That's before we work on the business. And people who want to make more money don't want to hear this because they want to just go straight to show me how to make more money, which we'll do. But I say, if you want the business to make more money, we got to figure out why you wanted to make more money in the first place. What kind of a life are you hoping for? And we go through 11 different categories. So these are things like your hobbies, your friendships, your relationship with your spouse, relationship with kids, things that you'd like to do charitably to make a difference in the world. And we get crystal clear on those things. And then the second thing I do from there is I say, okay, then let's start putting those things on the calendar each week, just a few of them, first, before you fill it up with business. So if you say, I want to have a great relationship with my spouse, then what does that look like? And what are some things that you need to put on the calendar this week instead of letting them default towards the end, which is what most people do? Most people fill up their calendar with all the business stuff first each and every week, and they try to fit in life with what's left. And so if the only thing you get out of this conversation is to identify a couple things that are interesting to you or important to you, put those things on the calendar first. If you say you want to be a great friend, well, when you're planning out your week, what do you need to do? What's one or two things that you can do this week to be a great friend? Or, for example, Russell, with your friend, if, you know, he clearly, I don't know the whole story, but it sounds to me like he put health on the back burner and he never got around to health, which is super common. He didn't get around to focusing on his health because perhaps the business took precedence over all those things. If you say health is important to you, then where are you going to put it on the calendar? Because here's what I will tell you. Business will always expand to the time that you allot to it. Mm-hmm. So if health is important to you and you put that on the calendar first each week and make that a priority, because quite frankly, your business means nothing without health in the first place, then you will make time for it and you'll fit in business with what's left. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be able to probably do every single thing in the business that you've been doing. You might need to get help. You might need to eliminate some of the jobs that you're currently doing or outsource them. But at the very least, now health becomes a priority. And guess what? You will figure out the other business things. I show people how to do that. But those things that you say are important to you, they need to be put on the calendar just as importantly as the business stuff does. And then you'll start to live both. I know that's a simplified version of the answer, but start there.
I'm giggling a little inside because I think you're giving people too much credit for planning their weeks at all.
I think
you know, obviously you're going to go to the appointment with the seller and you're going to you know, meet the tenant for the lease signing and you're gonna meet the contractor at the house and things like that, but beyond that stuff that's like very time driven, I think that most people have this like, they have this very, 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 very long list of things they would like to get done. And date night is on that vague long list. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's not so much that it gets pushed out because I've planned out my week to do all business. It's that
right.
I haven't planned out anything. And I think a really powerful part of what you teach people, or at least this was one of the things that had a big effect on me, was this idea of being super intentional about putting it on the calendar. You know, if you're gonna devote yourself to going to the gym every day, at what time? What are you gonna do when you get there? And then seeing it there makes you kind of go, well, I also wanted to get these 400 things for my business accomplished. I guess I'm going to have to scrape off the ones, really think about those things and scrape off the ones that probably are just stuff that I'm doing because I've always done it and not because it is the best thing to be doing in my now limited business time.
Well, yeah, and let me be very clear. I'm not suggesting you need to live and breathe and die by a calendar that you need to know in advance all the time. I leave room for spontaneity also because that's what I want in my life. I don't like to live by a minute-by-minute calendar. What I am suggesting is exactly what you just said, Vina, and that is to start being intentional because, you know, most people are really quick to change their entire schedule when it comes to going to get a deal signed. And I know this. I've done north of 300 deals at this point. But in my short sale business, my gosh, people used to say, I can only meet you at 7 p.m. on Tuesday night. And I would say, okay, because that's what they said they could do. When I started to put my vision together and I realized that 7 p.m. is time that is devoted to my family for dinner, I started to have boundaries in place for the first time. And it was scary because I didn't want to tell somebody no. But what I learned was, first time I said, nope, I'm sorry, that doesn't match our hours. Our hours are from 9 o'clock to 5 p.m., which means I have to be finished and back to my office or home by 5. So my last appointment of the day is 3:30. I got initial pushback from some people where they said, well, I work during the day. I can't meet you during the day. And I said, well, then I'm sorry, I can't help you. And guess what they did? They changed their schedule to make sure I could come out during my hours. It's no different than if you're going to go to the grocery store and your grocery store closes at 9 or 10 p.m., you don't just get to go at 3 a.m. and they open the doors for you. They have boundaries. And so imagine you having boundaries in your own life and business. Holy cow, what a concept. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised. You actually don't lose business once you put boundaries in place. People respect your boundaries and they adjust accordingly. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if they don't, part of the structure of my business was to create much smaller expenses to where I don't have to do that. So if somebody does say, no, they can't do business with me, I say, great, there'll be another deal right around the corner. And I structured my business that way so that I could say no to some of those things. Surprisingly, I never lost any business from that. But it's to your point, it's putting intention behind what it is that you say you want. And if you're just flying by the seat of your pants for everything, well, that's when you wake up 5 years later and you don't know why you haven't done any of your hobbies, or you don't have a relationship with your kids. You put the other things first. And I'm asking you to be intentional with it. So decide what you want first, and then be a little intentional with your week. I encourage people, look at your vision once a week. That's it. Look at it for 5 minutes once a week. Now, you got to do the work to know what it is in the first place, but look at it for 5 minutes, and then within your vision, it's going to start asking questions. If you say you want a great relationship with your spouse, then what's one thing I can do to have a great relationship with my spouse this week? Is it date night? Do I need to surprise her at her place of business with flowers one day? Do I need to What do I need to do? I need to take the kids to school one day this week. Do I need to whatever it is? I don't care what it is. The point is being more intentional about it. And if you do that with three or four or five things in your vision and just work a little bit on that each week, but fast forward a year, you can have a completely different life a year from now than you do right now.
Excellent. Sean, we need one more quick break here. Still taking questions at 877-772-9658 or at vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Before I forget it, the National Chapter Meeting of the Real Estate Investors Association of Greater Cincinnati is Thursday night. I think that's tomorrow. I lose track of time at this time of year when the summit's coming up. And it is online, so you can attend it from wherever you are listening. It is going to be a kind of a working meeting because it is about how to become a good exchanger. Now, don't hear me saying 1031 exchange. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Sean is really good at coaching, and Vina is really good at software development. Not true. But Vina is really good at software development. And Sean needs a website made, and Vina needs coaching. So how do we trade those things in a way that is a win-win situation for both of us? Except, of course, what we'll be talking about is real estate. You know, I have a deal but no money. Somebody else has got a money but no deal. How do we make that work? How do I trade what I can do for people to get, what everybody calls mentoring, like which usually they mean, I want to follow somebody around and see how they do deals. Well, if, you know, maybe you should be able to offer something for that work or expertise or something like that. So we're going to talk about how one does that, what the rules are, and then we're going to do it tomorrow night. You need to get a link for that. That's going to be at CincinnatiRIA.com. I'm going to go ahead and spell that out, because so many people want to put two T's at the end of Cincinnati, and there are not two T's at the end of Cincinnati. It's CincinnatiRIA.com. That's where you're going to get your link for that training. So, Sean, I know that you must run across plenty of people, because I run across them all the time, who do not believe that they can create a vision. Like, they feel like there's something missing in their brains that disallows them to sit down and put together, like, a powerful, this is what I want my life to look like kind of thing. What, A, do, am I wrong, or do you run into those kind of people? And B, what do you say to them?
Yeah, well, there's generally three types of people, and most people gravitate towards one of these areas the most. Some people are mostly visionaries. They can dream up and think of things. Some people are more engineers. They can figure out how to make stuff happen. They like to take things apart and put them back together. And then other people are bored with all of that, and they're doers. Like, just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. So if you're dominant as an engineer or a doer, you might find that some of the vision work is a little bit more difficult, but everyone can do it. And I usually take people through a little exercise of, you know, picture your dream house, and it just, you know, I'll have people close their eyes and picture your dream house, and what does it look like from the outside, and is it in the country, or is it in the woods, or in the mountains, or on the beach, or whatever. And I can take them through this exercise in about 2 minutes, and for the most part, just about everybody can picture their dream house of some sort. Now, some people still can't, because they were never allowed to dream for things that they wanted. But that's usually about 1% of the population. In those cases, I just pull them aside and help them a little bit different way. But, you know, everybody has this skill within them if you'll just let yourself for just a minute. And the vision process is it's not complicated, just very few people do it. So, you know, if I ask somebody who's used to working 60 hours a week for the last 40 years and I ask them what their hobbies are, most of those people are going to jump right to work because that's what they're used to dreaming about. But, you know, so I might have to take them through a little bit different exercise of what they used to enjoy doing before they worked 60 hours a week for 40 years straight. But everybody has this capacity. And I'm just going to, when I come to OREA, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the audience a bunch of questions, just get you thinking a little bit. And if you just follow along with the questions that I'm going to ask, anybody can do this. It's not difficult at all.
Sean, or Mike, I'm going to need a buzzer for the guests who are still calling that event the OREA, when it's been called the National Real Estate Summit for like, there we go. Yeah, I'm afraid you're going to confuse people, Sean. They're going to be like, I want to sign up for this OREA thing. I'm only signed up for the summit. It's the National Real Estate Investing Summit. Guys, don't worry. You've got tickets already. don't be emailing me going, wait, what's this thing, Sean? He's coming to the summit. Okay.
Sorry about that. It's been a long time ago.
I do it all the time myself. I have like a swear jar in my house that every time I say OREA,
you buzz yourself out.
The National Summit. Well, I have to drop a dollar in it. So yeah, it's a hard habit to break. So I'm guessing that the people that are, you're calling doers.
Yep.
What they really want is to skip the vision step and just have you tell them, okay, no, you said I could change my business so that it could meet my goals and leave me time and still make money. Just give me that list of things.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's not how it works, because it's your life. You get to make some decisions on how you want it to look. But the doers tend to think that stuff is a waste of time. It's like, those are the people that are constantly working in the business instead of on it. And I get it, because I can be a doer at times. Well, now, visionaries have the opposite problem. They can dream up stuff all day long, and then nobody does it because they're just so busy dreaming they don't get it done. And then engineers have a whole new problem, because they're thinking of how to do it. And so they oftentimes shut down their inner dreamer, because why bother dreaming it if I don't know how I'm going to pull it off yet? And so each of these have its strengths and weaknesses. But each of them are important, especially in business. I mean, somebody's got to be the visionary to come up with the business, unless you're going to buy a franchise and just, you know, take orders from somebody who's already created all the systems and processes and everything. You know, each of them are important. Somebody's got to be the visionary. And so you don't need to be the visionary forever. I'm talking about being the visionary for 10 minutes or 30 minutes, just to start to identify, if you want life on your terms, what are your terms? We need to imagine what those terms would be if they could be anything. Mm-hmm. And then at some point we need to engineer, okay, how are we going to pull that off? So if that's not you, you might need to get some help with it. And if you're not the doer at all, then you really need to get some help pulling it off. But each of these are just as important as each other, and you don't have to be all three all the time. But in business, that's what people tend to try to be. They're trying to do all three of those at once, and it doesn't work. You got to take one hat off and put the other one on for just a minute.
Sean, we only have about a minute left, so let me tell the folks who are coming to your session at the summit, either in person or virtually, who are already deep in this, who already have one of these businesses that it's making all kinds of money, but just like something's off, they're not getting out of it what they thought of, what the most painful part of your session for them is going to be. They're going to realize
actually,
that incremental change is not going to do it.
Those are the people that I love the most, because the new people are going to hear this and they're going to go, oh, that's not me. I don't have that problem. Once I make money, I'll fix it all. The people who I love to allow to hear this message the most are the people you're describing, because those are the people that have felt the pain and they've tried to do the things the way that they've been trying to do them. And so the most painful part for that person is going to be just being open enough to hear a little bit different version of the story, because you can have a great life and a great business at the same time. Even if you don't know what that looks like, even if you've built your business completely wrong from the ground up, you may not have to make massive changes. It might just take some minor tweaks and a little bit of time, or you might look at your vision and go, man, in order to pull this off, I need to make some radical changes. In which case, sometimes that's a little bit scary, but the view on the other side is worth it. So trust me a little bit. I've been doing this a long time. Come and hear the message. And if you agree with it, you can apply whichever pieces you like. And if you don't, well, then you don't have to apply any of it. But I've been doing this a long time and I've seen it work.
Thank you very much, Sean. I look forward to seeing you again at the summit. Again, listeners, if you want to attend virtually, you can go to wmkvfm.org. Make a pledge of, I think it's $297, and you can watch the summit, including Sean's presentation, on Zoom. And we'll be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.